a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Excuse me. Thank you, Joe, and thank you, everyone, for calling in and those present. Appreciate where we're at in the legislative session from a timing perspective. I think you've all covered. We all follow schedules. That's how our lives are driven. One of my favorite sayings, though, is if you want to make God laugh, tell him you've got a plan. But the day-to-day is picked up, as you know, because of the snow day on Monday and the three-day holiday. But Wednesday is what we call crossover. I'm sure you're all aware of that, but it's a pretty important deadline. And when I was in the legislature, my first term, people would not follow those rules, and they would cover the clock. I think folks have heard that. And I personally instituted a rule that we would meet crossover day, because rules are there not only to make sure that we are following the process and the procedure, but so that people are aware when they're coming, deadlines and those type of things. It's interesting, though, and ever since then, the legislature has met the crossover. That is a big deal, and I think that the legislature should be commended for their hard work, the schedule that they've got, and how bills can be jammed up. And it does result in, as few people know, bills that will just have titles and phrases because they need to be amended or there'll be negotiations at the end. And I always think it's fascinating that there'll be commentary that you wait until the end for everything. From that standpoint, this year, especially from our budget perspective, we'll hear on March 1st what is decided federally in terms of their budget on the concept of sequestration or the automatic cuts. We have a deadline on Wednesday that we refer to as crossover day, which means that if you've introduced a bill in the House of Representatives, it either must be defeated or passed out to the Senate and vice versa. And that there's another date that is actually a shorter period of time where those bills have to have final action than, for example, the House bills in the Senate for action and vice versa in the House. Now, it's an important civics point because what you have now on our calendars, both in the House and the Senate, are quite a few in the Senate House bills that will not be taken up until they get through all of their Senate bills and vice versa. So the House will work on their bills on Tuesday and Wednesday, and there will probably be other procedural motions called a smokeout. And a smokeout is an order to a committee where a bill has died to deliver it and we'll debate it. And you can only do that through a couple of mechanisms of trying to get it calendared. And that activity will take place. There was one yesterday. There will be, as I understand, a couple of requests to deliver or smoke out bills on Tuesday, which is the deadline for doing that on this first deadline. So I wanted to bring folks up to date on that because the process is driven by a calendar, and we all cram for exams, and that's the nature of it. Today we are deploying in Rapid City an 11-person unit that will be deployed to Operation Enduring Freedom. And when I have the privilege to speak publicly and be involved, I always thank the governor. We became friends in the legislature, but as a veteran, as somebody who has seen individuals go to war, has seen some very serious things in my life that are incredible, and people who have come back, as well as seeing families of individuals who have given the ultimate sacrifice. We are a country and a state at war. And in my lifetime, the rest of my lifetime, our son's lifetime, we will be at war. We may not feel like it, but it is something not from a negative, but from a national security and a state security perspective that I implore us to always remember. Since 9/11, over 10, 12 years, we've had 6,500 South Dakota National Guard members and airmen who have deployed on the war on terrorism. Currently, right now, in Operation Enduring Freedom, we have 175 soldiers deployed from our five Army units. And we are expected, regardless of the drawdown, in support of Operation Enduring Freedom in the next year or longer. About 550 soldiers and airmen from 3 Army Guard and 1 Air Unit to be deployed. Why do I focus on that? Since the war, eight of our National Guard members and 27 active duty South Dakotans have given their lives so that I could just be here talking. As a regular kid who grew up in this state, but a system of government that is unique in the world. And I'm pretty passionate about it because Dennis Dugard and Matt Michaels would not be able to do this as just regular citizens in most of the countries I've been in and lived in. And it is an amazing thing for me to be able to preside over the Senate and see that. We had the father of one of these soldiers here this week, who is a Special Forces individual who gave his life a number of years ago. There are people, as hard as this is for us to believe even to this day, that their goal is to annihilate Americans. And if you talk to the individuals who come back from war, they will tell you some stories that confirm that. I just think we always have to continue to pause and remember and thank those individuals who've served, and especially their families, for supporting us. And I'm grateful myself and have the privilege the governor has given me to be involved in the military, and the Department of Veterans Affairs is under my span and team authorities. So I'm grateful for that, and especially for what they do so that we can self-govern. Governor just returned last night from California. He was there at the World Ag Expo, and I think you've seen or heard most of our releases on that. I'm eager for him to provide more direct information from being there, but he, the first day, met with over two dozen dairies. California is a huge dairy producer. A lot of folks won't necessarily realize that, but those groups out there are looking to expand, and we need dairy expansion in this state to support an incredible expansion in the demand for dairy products. I think few people realize that South Dakota State University has been a leader from its origination in the area of agriculture, specifically in dairy. Terrace Park Dairy came out of there, and anytime you go to Brookings and you have the opportunity to have their ice cream and cheese, there's an incredible amount of science that goes on it, and I think you covered this week there's actually an appropriation bill that came through for the construction of a new science facility, and folks realize that the state and SDSU in their leadership, and now with the Bell Brand sighting, are truly national leaders in this area. And so in the dairy community, there are a number of dairies that are looking at relocating and expanding, and the governor was there for that reason. As you know, he has a tremendous passion for being the number one salesperson for our state. We call it economic development in the parlance, but I call it economic leadership, and he certainly is the leader in that and has traveled all over, as you know, and will be going to China to continue that effort. It's interesting because most governors don't spend the time at this expo, so he became somewhat of a media star and was interviewed by 10 other outlets out there, and four of them included 4 rural television networks, and then they had a private reception for about 2,000 dairies to explain what we have in South Dakota, what the climate is, what the business environment is, our environmental controls, and our respect of the stewardship of the property and of our God-given land. And he then went and toured some dairies that actually are operated by individuals there that own dairies in South Dakota. And so not only am I eager to talk with him later today about what he learned, but I was hopeful that he would be able to get us an update on anyone else that might be interested in coming here. So with that, I thank you, and we'll open it up for questions. And I'm grateful for you allowing this introduction.
Lieutenant Governor, quick question. As you look at crossover day, as you look after crossover day, from what you're hearing from watching the Senate and what you're hearing in the hallways, where are people at this point on some issues that maybe we've not heard a lot of, about economic development, those type of things? What are you hearing in the hallways that would indicate to you what are some of the big issues coming up in the last 3 to 4 weeks?
You know, Tony, thank you for the question. I think in our homes we can always determine what our priorities are by looking at our bank statement or your checkbook register, if people use checks anymore. The interesting thing is that there are so many people engaged in various aspects of economic development, where there's sizable projects, where rural roads issues in access to, you know, the ethanol plants or the dairies like I was talking about. I think that there's a general coalescence around that that's pretty significant. I would say personally, the more murky discussion is within the education environment, specifically the scholarship area, because the facts are pretty stubborn. And the facts say that we don't have a lot of ongoing revenue. So in your homes, you look at your jobs and your revenue, and there's certainly increased demands. Their prices increase for gas and food, so you've got to factor that in health care. But there is not a whole lot of additional money coming from economic growth to put into ongoing programs. And I think that that's really where, you know, the crossroads will be, Tony, on that. Within the gun legislation bills, obviously, those, quite a few bills out there about that as it shakes through. And I think collectively in the area of economic development, the wind credit dialogue is pretty important. With that being said, I'll reiterate, I think a whole lot of people are holding their breath, including us, for March 1 and from what we hear from D.C. Before then, too, also, the governor will be out for the National Governors Association meeting with people, and he'll come back with, in advance of that time frame, some very, very good information for us to work with on our budgets. Any other questions?
Victoria Wicks with South Dakota Public Radio. I asked a question earlier, and I had a long preface to it, but I'll leave off the long preface. Do you envision that the state will ever – you just had this comprehensive study on prisons and why they're so full. Do you think the state could maybe tackle the issue of climate change with that kind of comprehensive look to see what is coming for us, how it's going to affect our water resources, our agricultural practices, and to determine whether the resources are sufficient to sustain what's here now and the kind of industry that makes application to use mass quantities of water or to perhaps put excess carbon into the air?
Thank you for the question, Victoria. It's actually the first time I've ever been asked that question, and that rarely occurs. I would say, obviously, everything is possible and are good thoughts in that area as climates change and you know, everyone can have a discussion about whether it's factual or not, but things are changing. Every day they change. And I do think that there's a lot more going on in this area than I'm certainly aware of within our state. Now, whether it be directed by the governor, I can't answer that, but I do know within the agricultural world, especially at SDSU, they have dealt with, and there's actually some research at USD as well, in these drought environments and the different hybrids and drought-resistant foods because of having to feed so many people. So I think that you see it tangentially in that area, but obviously, there's nothing comprehensive that's taking place.
Lieutenant Governor, you know, you lead the Senate. You know, you do. How would you classify the atmosphere among legislators this year? I mean, at this time last year, there was already fraying of relationships, and there was some unhappiness with second floor and among each other. Do you see that yet? I mean, you always get some of that, but do you see at this point that there seems to be a pretty good cohesiveness up there?
Well, I do. But you have to also remember, Tony, and you do, that the governor and I grew up together in the legislature, essentially, and maybe we're not totally growing up, and have an amazing amount of respect for that process. And I think that it's always fun when people come to South Dakota who have never been here, and we've all done that. We've brought relatives, and you get to see their eyes open up to certain things, you know, that they don't experience. I'm going to go off on a tangent here. This summer we had an event, and the individual and her husband, it was an economic development visit, and they had come from Chicago, and we sat down and talked with them, and just a delightful couple. And this is the first time they'd been away from their three young kids ever. And at the end of the two-day event, I said, "So what was the highlight?" And they said, "Being able to see the stars." And that obviously stuck with me. And so when you get new legislators, I mean, legislators who would not have actually even maybe only been in Pierre once, maybe never been in Pierre, or come into this Capitol, an amazing place that obviously I'm in love with ever since I was a page. And to see in the Senate is I have the vantage point, not only the tingle I have up my spine being able to do that every day, but looking, and I've got people like Senator Roden, who's in terms of the term of service the longest serving person there, and at the same time you've got people who it's their first time ever, and to be able to educate that in the arcane system we have, very open system, I think it's not only cohesive but respectful. Whether we're going to agree or disagree, you know, we can argue but not be argumentative, and I'm really proud of that. I see it. There was a great debate on that I've seen, and I said it was one of the top 10 that I've ever experienced in terms of child custody, which is obviously very incendiary, but I do think that there's a cohesiveness, an excitement that is still there, and the people are really privileged to be here. Now, with that being said, the healthy tension is really important in this deal. So otherwise, we'd have dictatorships.
Do we have any questions from those who are on the line? And if so, press #6 to unmute your phone, and then immediately *6 to remute after you've asked your question. Any other questions in the room? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Have a safe weekend.